Hello, everyone, and welcome to Intuition Talks with your hosts, Tina Moody and Kristen O'Meara, a podcast for the consciously curious. Sit back and relax as we have down-to-earth discussions about our journeys of self-transformation, along with sharing channeled messages with you from Spirit. We hope that what we have learned and insights from our special guests inspire you to trust your intuition as you navigate the ups and downs and twists and turns on your life path. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Intuition Talks. I am Kristen O'Meara.
And I am Tina Moody, and welcome to year two, everyone. Woohoo! So we are kicking off this new year with a chat with my sister, Michelle Moody. Michelle is mentioned numerous times in The Spiritual Awakening of an Analytical Mind, as well as here on the podcast. She is here to talk to us today about intuition, along with intuitive healing. So Michelle hopped on the spiritual self-discovery train just before me, but she took the express train, unlike me. We'll be going into more details in our discussion, but here's the bullet version of Michelle. Michelle's an intuitive healer. In her spiritual toolbox is Reiki 1, 2, 3, certifications and access bars, Akashic records, and the two-hour yoga teacher training, restorative yoga, equine Reiki, and I'm likely missing a couple of other things out there, which I'm sure she can correct me in a moment. Oh, wait, she's also a licensed Maine guide here in the great state of Maine, which is no easy feat. So she combines all this knowledge with her own intuitive powers to provide incredible healing sessions for her clients. By day, she practices dental hygiene. By night and days off, she teaches weekly yoga, offers intuitive healing in her she shed, certifies others in Reiki 1 and 2, is recently remarried, is mother to three adult children, prepares her 23-month-old grandson to be a future Maine guide during their weekly day together, and is currently awaiting her soon-to-be-born granddaughter. Everyone, this is my sister, Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Welcome. Hello, everyone. Hello, Kristen. Hello, Tina.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast with us today and for kicking off our second year of podcasting.
I am honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is so exciting. We knew we wanted to have you on here at some point. We were just waiting for the right time. So before we get started, I want to share today's channel, which I just sat for right before Michelle, Kristen, and I just talked for the last 45 minutes. So I want to share that now. Here we go. No one is without the ability to connect to the power of source. The more you embrace your innate intuitive nature, the more the universe delivers the signs to you that you are connected. The I am can be an integral part of this process, for it reminds us of our connectedness. Use the I am to remind yourself of your relationship to source. You are source. We are all source.
I love that. Yes, it's my favorite. And we've talked about this quite a few times, that if you just go into a meditation and really focus on the I am in terms of just saying it and allowing yourself to say the next thing that comes to you. I've had experiences where I've been in that zone. I am, and I think I mentioned, I am the river that flows through. And it's almost this poetic, inspirational trance speaking that I talked about last episode or so, that it just starts flowing out of you. It's this presence that you can get in touch with, that I feel like is either a soul on a soul level or connecting with the one. It's a really beautiful experience. And I think, Tina, you've had that too, right?
Yes, I have. And I think the reason that it came up here is that last night, and I was telling Kristen this before we came on, that I'm home alone. Well, Cooper and I are home alone. And so I get myself into trouble some nights when I'm here by myself. And I went down a YouTube rabbit hole and Dolores Cannon popped up. It was somebody else's YouTube channel, but they were airing a clip from Dolores Cannon. And in that, she brought up the I am. So I think that's what got plugged into my head. And it was that if we want to manifest anything, that we have to stay present with what we're projecting out into the energy that we're projecting out into the universe. And so to just make sure that you're not saying, I want this in the future, I want this at the end of the day, or I, you know, no matter what that length of time is that you're putting out there, because the universe doesn't know the linearness that we come to the table with sometimes. And so you always need to be present with what you're wanting to invite back into your life. The, if it is the connectedness to source or whatever it is, I am source.
And it is in the present tense. Yeah. So it'll be different for everyone. I think it's an interesting exercise just to sit in some sort of contemplative practice or meditation and just see what comes up.
Right. Right.
When I was doing my Akashic Record training, we very much were taught to think along the lines of you're creating your Akashic Records in each and every moment of each and every second, you know, of your life. And for certain, the energy, your actions, reactions, to think about those, that what is happening in this moment becomes your Akashic Records. And so that energy is what you're putting out there for the future. And do you want to, you know, on the flip side of manifestation, do you want to have to come back at a later time to heal this moment?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So really, as you move through the day, walking with gratitude, because it just changes the whole vibration of your being and what you radiate out to those around you.
Mm-hmm. So our discussion today and really for the rest of the month is going to be around intuition. And so it seemed fitting to have Michelle on here. To start, we wanted to talk a little bit about opening our intuition, specifically with Michelle as an example. You did it so well, Michelle, as we were going on this path. So I wanted to just talk to you about kind of the trigger that you brought you on this path and then how you allowed it to come forward so quickly. Like, we both had the same trigger, which we can get into. And I had more probably of a fear base or a hesitant or skeptical place that I was coming from, and you just dug in and embraced. So can you talk to us a little bit about your trigger, allowing your intuition to open, kind of how you dove into practice so quickly, as far as, and we can talk about your she shed, your certifications, and then just kind of general healing that you needed to do in order to get to that place. I know that's a lot that I just threw out there though, too.
Okay. I guess I've always known that I had it. I have a gift. Not I had. I have a gift from the time I was small. Unfortunately, it wasn't nurtured when I was small. It, you know, I was told that it was my imagination. As far back as when I was a toddler, I had an imaginary friend. But we all know that children are open. Mm. So there was someone with me. And I do realize her name was Minnie Haha, but, or at least that's what I called her. And it's interesting, you know, I've always associated animals with people. And I think that I was seeing maybe the animal that was with a person at that particular time in their life, or their, maybe their power animal, maybe their spiritual guide. I almost thought that I didn't think it was abnormal. Not abnormal or supernormal or whatever you want to call it. I thought everyone had this ability. Or I would see colors around people, auras, or colors even with letters, the synesthesia. I really didn't think much of it. And then I got busy with life. Yeah, right. You know, three kids, two divorces, and fast forwarding to my late 40s, I was in a very toxic relationship, an alcoholic husband, and I had a child with mental health issues. And I was just keeping everyone's heads afloat. And we were coming to the peak where my oldest child was having some mental health problems. I contracted Lyme disease. My husband relapsed. And I was in the woods. This was maybe the first time that I realized that I could go beyond the support system here on earth and find support. I was in the woods, which is my happy place, and there was my grandmother. Oh. I'm going to cry. And telling me that I was going to be okay and I was going to get through this. And, you know, my health-wise, my child would be fine. And every night, and I am not a church goer, but every night I would pray that I would be relieved from the situation that I was living in. But I had three children and I didn't think financially I could do it. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, he served me with divorce papers because he didn't want to live with my child from my first marriage who had mental health problems. And it was like a relief. So anyway, fast forward and to 8 years ago, exactly to this day, Tina was my real estate agent and helped me find a home that I could afford. I didn't think I could afford a home on my salary with three kids, but I did. And, you know, thank God for her. And we moved out. And as soon as we moved out, I swear I started opening up. Mm-hmm. And I started spending more time with my best friend who's been on this podcast, Jennifer Edwards. And she and I would go to see mediums. And, you know, that piqued my interest and started to open me up. And I started and I've always had very realistic dreams, profound dreams that I knew had some sort of meaning, but I didn't know what to do with them. And even in that period between awake and asleep, I would have visions. And through Jen, I started seeing a Native American shaman. And I was having a lot of dreams that I was in ancient Egypt. And we did a lot of healings. Like I wasn't a good person in that lifetime. And I know I'm kind of all over the place with this because it was fast and furious. The healing of many lifetimes and the letting go of baggage that I was carrying from not only my own past lives, but from my ancestral lines of, you know, Scottish, Irish, Welsh, English heritage of, you know, farmers who worked hard and you weren't valued unless you were killing yourself. And it really made me look at the way I was living. Like I would just drive myself into the ground thinking I didn't have value unless I was, you know, working my butt off. Mm-hmm. And I learned to sit still. I mean, I still am a busy person, but I can now sit. And it's funny, like once I opened up, these people, just these mentors, these teachers, just kind of came into my life out of nowhere. And, you know, by day, I always say by day, I'm a dental hygienist. By night, I'm a Reiki master yoga teacher. And I would think about I put this out to the universe without even realizing what I was doing, that, you know, I was looking for a way to heal myself. And I had this patient who came in and he was in his late 70s and he was a Reiki master. And I'm like, tell me about Reiki. What is it? What is it? And he would tell me and I didn't quite understand. But every time he came in, we'd talk about it. And I started reading books about past lives and I'd want to talk to him about it. And, you know, I'd be thinking about this driving to work and he'd show up in my chair. You know, I'd look at the schedule when I got into work and there he was. Or I'd have deep conversations with people that I would never imagine would be spiritually awake, mm-hmm. that would maybe connect me to like my next teacher. So this man, Don Cady, he unfortunately passed this past spring. He was well into his 80s. I contacted him and I said, I think I'm ready to have you certify me in Reiki 1 and 2. And he said, I'm retired. I don't teach anymore. And I said, Don, I am drawn to you like a moth to a flame. He had so much white light. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've known that when I was ready that you would be my teacher. And he said, okay. and I said, by the way, and he knew Jen at the, 'cause we worked in that's how we met in a dental office. She worked there too. And I said, Jen would like to come too. And he said, all right, I'll come to your house. And so he certified the two of us in Reiki 1 and 2. And I was still going to see the shaman, you know, maybe once a month and working with him and actually apprenticing with him a little bit, just because I have this strong connection to the natural world. I'm really not happy unless I'm in the woods. I would go to see the shaman and he would say, you need to be seeing people. You are a healer. You're supposed to be healing people. And I'm like, I'm a dental hygienist. Who am I to be? Who am I to be doing this? And he's like, you don't need to have these certificates that you're getting. You don't need them. And I said, well, who's going to come to see me in a shed? If I'm just like, come to my shed, I'll put my hands on you. It'll be magical, you know? And so I have this, I feel like I'm going all over the place.
No, it's all making sense to me. So yeah.
So I knew I had had this vision that my guide, my spirit animal, not my power animal, but my guide was a red-tailed hawk, but it looked more on, I had a lot of Egyptian visions then. It looked more like a falcon, but hawks would appear to me out of nowhere, everywhere I went. It was very obvious. And I could see this hawk. So in smudging, you know, I always smudge, I hate to call them clients because it sounds so clinical, but for lack of a better word, I always smudge my clients first before I get them on the table, because I feel very strongly that we should live in ceremony, and it's important to have ceremony and connect with people in this techie world that we live in. We're always texting and we don't sit face to face and have conversations anymore. And that's what my shaman did. He would use, I think, an eagle feather. And so I'm like, I can't see people. I don't even have a hawk feather. How am I supposed to smudge people? I don't have a hawk feather. And every day I'd run my Australian cattle dog, my blue heeler. I'm going to cry again because he left 2 years ago when he was like my soul dog. So Blue and I would go out and I'd run with tobacco in my bra, a little pouch of tobacco in my bra so that I could leave that offering should I ever be gifted a feather. And so I always ran in the morning and I'd, you know, put my hands on the earth. I'd send healing to the earth, ground myself. I had this whole little ritual I do. I'd face east, power of the rising sun, and, you know, say these little things and, you know, offer healing to myself and the dog and everyone on the planet. And this one day I was harried and I ran in the afternoon and we got around the trail and I was like, shoot, I didn't stop in my normal place. And I'm like, well, I'll stop here facing west. So I dropped to my knees, my hands and knees on this moss, and I closed my eyes and I sent healing to the earth. And I opened my eyes and there's a feather between my hands.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, how did I not see this? Like, this was a 3-mile run. How did I not see this when I put my hands here? And I looked at it and I just started crying. And I was like, I don't even need to Google this. This is a hawk feather. Oh. And I didn't have my tobacco in my bra. And so
I hate to interject, but there's some beauty to what you're talking about, just that you didn't have the tobacco, you didn't stop at your normal spot, that you were going to get this gift no matter what.
Right. You exactly. Know? It was such a beautiful, powerful moment. So I'm holding the feather up in the air and talking to the spirits. And I'm like, I'm going to heal so many people with this, this one feather. And I'm crying. Oh. And I'm like, I'll be right back. I'll go get my tobacco.
3 miles out.
I'm not 3 miles out now. Now I'm only you know, maybe 3/4 of a mile. Oh, okay. So I run home with this feather in my hand and the dog in tow, and I come bursting through the kitchen door, and my older son is standing there. So he would have been probably 24 at the time, 25, somewhere around there. And he goes, you all right? Because I've got tears running down my face. Yeah. And I go, I got a hawk feather. And I just got to use some tobacco. So I go get tobacco and I run back and I, you know, thank you, brother fire, sister water, mother earth, grandfather sky. And I like starts, you know, do my whole thing. But
that sounds like spiritual bliss to me. Even the tears. Yeah.
It was complete spiritual bliss. And I also started doing moon circles at that time. And it began in my shed with just Tina and I. and then in came one more person, and until like sometimes we'd have like 15 people either around my fire pit or on the beach. And I used to be an introvert.
You found your passion, you know?
But I found my passion, mm-hmm. Right. And I love to lead circles. I love to teach. And I never realized that. And I've had so much guidance through time spent in the woods, time spent in meditation. Right around that time, I found Kundalini yoga. Actually, it was someone that went to high school or middle school with Jennifer Edwards. And I had been researching different ways to like raise that energy up through the chakras. And through Google, I found Kundalini, and I couldn't find a class around the greater Portland area here in Maine. And I swear to God, in less than 24 hours, Jen called me and said, my friend from middle school has started teaching Kundalini yoga, and she's going to be teaching a half a mile from your house. Now, remember, I live in a very rural area outside of Portland, Maine, and I think it's something that you'll like. I never told her what I was Googling and searching for. It just appeared. And my teacher was just this phenomenally passionate, kind person. And I really, through breath work and chanting, found my voice.
Yeah.
Where I was not able to maybe speak my truth and set my boundaries before. Mm-hmm. Like, I really feel like that movement of energy through chanting and breath work, through pranayama, that was a huge, huge turning point for me. And the whole time, and it was trippy. The whole time I was doing this breath work, I was having visions. I was healing and having visions. And we went as a group to an ashram in Worcester, Massachusetts, a beautiful ashram. And it was white tantric yoga. So it's all day long. And you're partnered up either with a stranger or someone in, like, we went as a group. So I had a friend. And what I moved through and left behind was phenomenal. And I wasn't really that aware of, I could felt lighter when I left, but I wasn't really aware until the weeks afterwards where, you know, that integration within you came. And I went home that night and I went to bed. And when I was falling asleep, my blue dog never slept with me. Occasionally he'd try to in the wintertime, and he always slept on the right corner of my bed so he could watch the door and protect me. So he's on the right corner of my bed, and he wasn't a barker at all. He'd never bark, which is odd for that breed. And I was in that lucid dreaming state, and I saw, it was all Egyptian, this like mummified version of me. Mm. Trying to get back in, and it was coming towards my face, but it was like it was hitting a glass window before it could get to me. And my dog jumped up and barked.
Wow.
Like he could sense. And a little bit about Blue. Blue was with me for every single healing appointment that I would have in my shed. And he would sit by the door and watch the door as we had our session. And twice when I had the knowing that I was helping a client remove some heavy, dark energy from them, I would kind of push the energy out the window. I always open the window. And again, Blue was not a barker. Twice I had this happen. I moved it out the window. He jumped up and barked. Yeah. The window slammed shut, and he came over and laid right beside the Reiki table of my client. Wow. Like almost protecting them from this entity coming back in.
Yes, yes.
And he was a healer for certain. So anyway, that
Can I pause really quick? I just want to say how remarkable your path is that you're describing so far. It's just because I just want to capture this just for a moment, because we've talked a lot about on the podcast about spiritual paths. They're all so different for everyone. Some folks can take an extensive period of time just working through whatever blocks, whatever fear they have to even learn Reiki or do this thing. And then some folks are getting the signs and synchronicities left and right, left and right. And I think there's an unfortunate comparison of why am I not going as fast, or why am I not, you know, seeing the signs and synchronicities? Why am I not feeling ready to take that next step? And I think that what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing from so many people that I know they're on a spiritual journey, because they're all so different, because all of us are so different, is that we, like what you've been speaking about, we have so much of our own family lineage. We have so many past lives that perhaps we're working to heal. We have our own present life experiences that we're working through. And you were, what I'm hearing, were so ready and primed to step into the role as a healer. And it took just your, like what you're saying, that shift of starting your new life path and getting these signs and synchronicities left and right. And how healers and teachers of a particular type, it seems to me, are just needed so much. They're needed so much right now that the universe, it's not playing favorites. I think that's what I'm trying to say. It's not playing favorites, but there are people who are needed so badly in the world to get up and running. And then we all, like for me, gosh, it took me years to try to figure out, well, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing and on this healing journey that I want to offer people? All these labyrinths, all these things that I was trying to figure out and working through my shadow and working through left and right. And the signs and synchronicities were slower. They weren't as visible. I was not believing in myself. I wasn't believing what I was seeing. There are these little things that I had to work through, but that's all just as relevant and just as beautiful and just as meaningful. Does that make sense?
It does. It's funny, when Tina was doing that group reading, or the reading for the collective, I should call it, what I was hearing from Spirit was free your mind, free your mind, free your mind. And it's like, try not to compare yourself and grab and grab and grab, but also just being in a state of allowance. You know, we think we need to do something. Do to get there. But sometimes what you need to do is not anything. You know, you need to sit. Yeah. And you're right. Everyone, it goes at a different pace and has different things to heal, different karmic lessons, if you will. And, you know, it can be difficult. I've certainly had times, it was fast and furious to begin with. And then, you know, I've had plateaus, and at first I'm like, I must be blocked. Why aren't I receiving? And it's more a time of rest, reflection, integration. So honoring those times and realizing that what you need at any given time will come to you, you know, just having faith that that will happen.
Kristen and I talk a lot and recently about that nothing is for waste. Like, we may not fully understand why we were directed in a certain way. Like, Michelle, like you did equine Reiki. You weren't sure where that was going, but you trusted and you did it. And I even feel that way about when Chris and I were guided to do this podcast, or when I was guided to do the book. It's like, sometimes you just have to let go and trust that it's not for naught. Like, we're doing
right.
There's something that's coming next. And then the other thing while you were talking is reminds me of just our two paths. You know, you and Jen started like wildfire, like going out, and then you started dragging me along and you're like, don't overthink it. Like, as I was putting up the walls and the brakes and all that. And, you know, at times I will admit, like, because I have a competitive nature too, that I didn't understand that fear, or that my skepticism or questioning, or what I was going through myself, I had to deal with some things internally, like, my place wasn't to do all the things that you and Jen were doing. And that took me a little while to figure out and to come to terms with and to be okay with that. I do have intuition, but it's coming through differently than what you and Jen do. And even you and Jen side by side, you did so many things together as far as certifications or licensing and things like that. Yet where you two are right now is different what you're called to. Right. So I find it's very fascinating. Like, we all have to realize, and it gets back to the native cultures, right? They all had a gift and they had mentors that nurtured them, and they all had a place within the community, and as a whole, the community worked, right?
Right.
We shouldn't all be the same. And I think it's important for us to all remember that. Yeah. So Michelle, you talked about the whole, you know, hanging of the shingle, like it's easier to hang the Reiki shingle than to say, come, let me put my hands on you and it will be magic, because that would scare people that are maybe just stepping on. They're not quite ready for that. So I consider you an intuitive healer. And so what you're able to do is you've created this massive kind of spiritual toolbox with all those certifications and all that. And then you kind of mix in your own intuitive magic into that. So people that come to you are getting all the magic, even though they may not necessarily be signing up for the magic. Can you kind of speak to what you see as people coming in to you? Like you said, people would arrive. And I think that's from a mentorship standpoint, but also from a, I need to be healed, or not realizing they need to be healed, but feeling the pull to come see you.
How they're drawn in, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I have practiced purely by word of mouth. And I ask every morning, like as part of my kind of Zen morning practice, you know, I put protection around my family and friends. I do a gratitude practice. And then I used to say, let me be the light I wish to see in others. But then I changed it to, I am the light, you know, I own it. Mm-hmm. And not saying that in I'm all that in a bag of chips, but like owning it, like I am the light I wish to see in others, a beacon to those in need. Let those who need what I have to offer find me with ease, and let me find those who have something to offer me in my own healing, growth, and awareness. May I find them with ease. I say that every day.
That's beautiful.
And that gets to the I am, right?
Right. I am the light. And we're all the light. So I put that out there to the universe. And it's funny how, you know, usually within a day, somebody will reach out to me. And when I first started this journey into intuitive healing, I didn't own it fully. I still had like the self-doubt, like, am I really hearing this? Is this my imagination? You know, am I going to disappoint this person? What should I be offering them? You know, all of it. And I would practice a little bit of shamanism. I would sit face to face with my clients and we would have ceremony. We'd talk and I would smudge them, call in the seven directions, get them on the table, and very methodically go down their body doing Reiki. And then I had one particular client who came in and I was listening. I was listening to spirit. You know, I would use, you know, crystals and do all of that. And nothing against crystals, but I don't use them anymore. Like I trust that I will receive whatever this person needs. I ask, let me be the greatest energy, space, and consciousness for this person sitting across from me. How can I help them? You know, I am the hollow conduit. And a lot of times I don't even remember the session. If you ask me the next day what happened, I will not remember much because it's not mine. And so I began to practice more intuitively. But in the early days too, I had a lot of clients that would come to me spiritually curious, mm-hmm. like trying to play stump the psychic, which I never claimed to be a psychic. And so they would come in and I would see them like a mummy wrapped, you know, tight, mm-hmm. like, can you guess what's going on inside me? Can you guess my secret? And not everyone that came to me was like that, but you know, it's teamwork. I tried to say, you need to be open because only you can heal you. I can bring you these awarenesses, jumpstart your healing, but nothing's going to happen unless you're open. And sometimes they would open up and sometimes they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to the pandemic when we shut down in March of 2020. And, you know, of course, I didn't see anyone in my she shed for a while. And so I opened it back up May of 2020 to people I know, people I knew who were being careful as far as COVID is concerned. And every person who came in, I would see them as a Native American, as a rainbow warrior, you know, the original tribe, the souls that are here to, I just got chills, to bring us back to living the old way in harmony with nature, in harmony with each other, in community with each other. And I would see them in Native American garb with their arrows pulled back.
Oh, wow.
Ready to go. And I had this note, this kept happening and it's still happening 3.5 years later. Those are the only people that seem to come see me now are the people who are ready to step onto their path. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I'm helping them to like clear their energy and bring some awarenesses to them, spread their wings and push them out of the nest. Like you need to be holding circles. You need to be, you know, in community with others that are like you. You need to make the change. You need to step into your healing role. And there's a sense of urgency there. Right. And, you know, I think that's why going back to why my journey was like, once I was ready, it was fast and furious.
I was just about to say that because a lot of healers, they have to go through, I feel, what they're going to be offering. And the people that they're going to be attracting. So you're going to go through your dark night of the soul. You know, for you, it was super fast because you're attracting, like what you said, the people who are going to be needing to jump in right away. And you've got that vibration that you're helping almost like with a transmission. I would imagine with your work, you're helping ignite that for them. I just think that's sensational. I think that's so beautiful.
And as Tina was saying, like, when we were early on our path, you start to compare yourself to others, but we need to support one another. And we all have different gifts, as she was saying. And so, you know, I had some of those feelings in the beginning and I've had to work through that competitive nature to be like, these are the women I want to support. And they're not all women. I do have a few men that are awake and aware and ready to and should be healing, but it does seem like, not to stereotype, but it does seem like women tend to be more open to some of the spiritual healing. And it's been really amazing to watch some of these beautiful souls just, you know, heal themselves. Like they're listening. And oh, the other side of that, or two parts of being ready to heal other people or bring healing to other people is healing yourself from this lifetime, past lives, and three things, and healing your family lines, breaking the patterns. That's been very clear to me, like presented to me in a very clear manner that, you know, these lines, these people who are coming in need to be healing their family lines, because when you heal your family lines, you heal 7 generations to come. Whether you have children or not, whether they're your sisters, your nieces, your nephews, your whole family to come energetically, you're healing them and breaking the patterns. I know I've had a lot of fear that I have 2 boys and a girl, and I've had a lot of fear around my daughter repeating my karmic stuff. My north node is all about relationship stuff and healing that in this lifetime and being able to speak my truth. And it took me to my 3rd marriage to be able to do that and my 50s. So I still have, and I try not to put this around my daughter, this fear that she's going to make these same mistakes. But then in spending time healing those family lines and breaking those patterns, I see that that's not going to happen. I see what an amazing relationship she and her husband have, and how what fabulous parents they are to my grandson. And it like just, you know how the Grinch's heart grows so big, it bursts through his chest. That's what how I feel when I watch them as a family. But I still have a little bit of that fear within me because that's how I've lived. And I'm trying to have, this is something I'm working through now. You're never done. You're never done healing. There's always another layer of something. But that's a family pattern that I have been working to break, and also not put my fears on her. She has no idea I have these fears, but energetically, you know, I feel like I'm putting that like, oh my God, what if they get divorced and she's got two little kids and but then I see them together and that's not going to happen. That went down a rabbit hole for sure.
That's because I really believe that when we do this personal healing work and when we just everything that you said about healing, we are almost like, I envision it like my meditation teacher would, when I brought up crystals, I think I told Tina this, when I brought up crystals to my meditation teacher, he's like, they're just rocks. Like you're the crystal. Like, so we're the tuning fork, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we when we have worked and done to the best of our ability and we're still healing every day, whether we're aware of it or not, but when we have that intention to have a higher vibration, to heal, whoever's in our orbit, they're going to want to match that vibration or they will leave our orbit, right? So I feel like that is another level of healing that we all offer to people, whether it's spoken or not. So I imagine that your daughter and my son and Tina's children, that our spiritual evolution and our own healing path is affecting them on an energetic level. Right. And I think that's what's so incredible about people who are living a conscious life. They're on a path that's a true spiritual path, which I believe is what you're speaking to, of how can I love myself? How can I be that light? Because that's what spirituality to me is. It's not the crystals. It's not the this. It's not the that. It's how we embody the God within us, how we are treating others, how we're grateful, how we're this. And that is opening up so many doors that I don't even think we're even able to comprehend. Do you know what I'm saying? The light that's spreading from that conscious awareness that I am. So
it's true.
Just a little, you know.
I think that point that Michelle made too about putting those fears, that energetic toward her daughter, I think that is so important and so many people aren't aware of it or are aware of it, but we forget to practice it, that our thoughts, our intentions, our, not just our words and actions that we lend to something is energy and and is sent out. And I know I have to be aware of that because as moms and being single moms, all three of us, we tend to have those fears for our children. And we have to be so careful of that. I know I was kind of keeping myself in check on that here and there just this week, actually. Michelle and I, not to go down another rabbit hole, but
please do.
Michelle and I have done some incredible joint family healing a few years back, probably what, 4 years or 5 years ago now, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it a little bit early on. We did a quick bonus episode on ancestral healing.
I think we've talked about it a few times.
Yeah, I think so.
Healing. Yeah.
So everybody, this is Michelle that together we did the healing and it was so just amazing because what we learned, and it was coming off from a lot of research on our genealogy and what we learned, and a lot of that being intuitively learned, is that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that our ancestors were of nature, were of taking care of themselves with herbs in the gardens. What we came across is that we do have great or great-great-grandmothers who had healed our lines up to them. And then, you know, all hell broke loose with industrialization that we just needed to heal back to them on certain lines. And of course, that varied depending on the family line and then projecting it out to the future, to the next seven generations and all. But yeah, that was powerful stuff when we did that.
It's a remembrance of what's buried within your bones. You know, it's remembering and bringing up that energy that we have.
I mean, their DNA is in us, baby. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's not all bad.
Not all bad at all. So, Michelle, we've kind of, you kind of went through all the kind of leading questions that I was going to ask, but in to bring it back to the listeners, and I'm sure they've been able to pick up on so many different things in this conversation, and you've kind of already touched on some of it as far as healing, but for people that were like me that said, oh my God, I don't, my intuition is so not awake. Like, what would you recommend to people as far as maybe gets into healing themselves or how to develop their intuition? Do you have any points that you'd like to leave people with?
Well, first of all, we all have the ability. It's just some of us are tapped into it. And so it comes a little more easily. We all have the sixth sense, mm-hmm. you know, and we tend to busy our bodies, busy our minds, and kind of block it out. And it's uncomfortable to sit in quiet. It's uncomfortable. And it's really an exploration of what works for you. At the beginning of my journey, the easiest way for me to tap in was to go in the woods. And I do, it's just my makeup that I like to move. And so running in the woods, and stuff would come into me. I find that sometimes it's easiest to do stream of conscious writing as well. Mm-hmm. So grabbing a journal and maybe getting, you know, I usually start, if I'm having a hard time connecting, I start by writing like mundane things like, oh, I had, you know, chicken and vegetables for dinner and we went for a walk. And so I get out some things that I might be thinking about and then I write guidance. And I ask spirit for guidance. You know, what is in my highest good today? And I just, without thinking, I just write and then I go back and read it. I have no idea what I've written. So through stream of conscious writing, certainly getting in contact with nature helps to open you up. But, you know, I was certainly guilty of this early on, was like grabbing outside myself mm-hmm. to have somebody else help me.
I think that's right. So common though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Grabbing at different modalities, mm-hmm. grabbing mm-hmm. at, oh, let me get a reading. And readings are fun. Don't get me wrong. But remembering too that it's all within you. Mm-hmm. You're responsible for your healing. You know, you're responsible for your connection to God or whatever your higher power is, to your ancestors, your angels. And really trusting what's coming in is, a lot of times, as I was saying before, we think it's our imagination. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, if you're early on your journey, it's nice to have like a spiritual buddy who maybe has an easier time connecting. And I've done this with Jennifer. This is what I'm picking up. Or I'll ask her, what are you picking up around this subject? And see if it's the same as what I pick up. Right. And then I have another friend who is 50% Maliseet Native American, very connected. And it's like phone a spiritual friend, you know, and I won't tell them what I'm picking up, but I just want to see what they're picking up, you know, just confirmation that I'm. And that is helpful when you're early on your journey, is having someone that you can, you know, chat with and check in with and see if they're connecting. I've even, you know, early on my journey, a pendulum. Mm-hmm. I'd think about what I had questions about, and then I'd use the pendulum to see if that agreed. And then I'd call Jen and say, can you use your pendulum? Or she'd call me, can you use your pendulum? So it's nice to have a tribe.
Yeah. True.
Because we're all trying to figure it out if we don't have like what you two were speaking to, which is that communal tribe, the elders that would teach us how to do this naturally as young children, right?
Right.
And being mentored along the way. Like we're, some of us, especially in the West, we're like, okay, I need us to be on a spiritual path. I'm being called. What do I do? You know, you go to your metaphysical store. What, you know, where it's almost like we're in the dark. Like, and it's so
right
to have like that friend,
yeah,
that mentor, that the books. I mean, we have to start somewhere because it's like, my God, it's so
hard. And there's so much. Michelle, your running in the woods is probably your meditation in some ways. I mean, I know you brought meditation in, but that's just that trance kind of thing, and your breath work.
Yes, for sure. Running, it was a moving meditation, and that's why I like yoga. That's why I liked Kundalini yoga, because the chanting helped me stop my busy mind, you know, and the music is at a higher vibration. Everything came to me at the right time. So, and that's where a point I wanted to make is we forget that we can just ask for what we need. We, you know, and some of that is solar plexus stuff of not feeling like we have the worth, you know, I'm not worthy of asking for whatever it is that you're asking for. And that took me a long time, you know, like, who am I to heal other people? Who am I to ask for this? Who am I asked for that? And like a simple example, it's always when I'm driving in the car to where I'd be like, this is when I was living out in the sticks a little bit and I needed to put a new faucet in my kitchen sink. Not spiritual, but I'm like, I bet I could do it myself. I don't know how to do it. I wish there was somebody I could talk to. I go to work, my first patient's a plumber. And I said, do you think I can do this? And I said, what tools do I need? He goes, you just need a basin wrench. You could totally do it. Just watch a YouTube video. So he told me the things I needed to pick up at Home Depot and just, you know, like, okay, I can do that. I've thrown this out there many times, like, I'd really like to know more about such and such a thing. And it may not show up, you know, in 10 minutes like the plumber, but it might show up tomorrow or when I'm ready to take the next step in my journey. Like, oh, I'd like to do this when it's the right time. And it will, whatever it is, might show up. Like the equine Reiki, like that I didn't ask for. But you know why that showed up in my life. So this person that is very spiritual and in my friend group, but I don't know well, kept offering this equine Reiki on Facebook. And every time I saw it, I'm like, I need to sign up for it. And I'd have this conversation in my head. Why do you need to? You're never around horses. Somehow horses always come into my life. I know nothing about horses, but they come into my life. So it keeps showing up. And I'm like, well, screw it. I'm just going to sign up for it. So I sign up for it. It's like a Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, all day Sunday kind of thing. And I sign up for it and I cry. I cry like this is going to be like the biggest thing in my life kind of cry. And I can't figure it out. I have no idea. So I go and the person teaching was an amazing teacher and so connected. And I really got a deeper understanding of energy, energy healing, spirituality, and, you know, a deeper appreciation for my connection with animals. And I still had no idea how I was going to use this in my life. And I ended up working with dogs and cats here and there, maybe a couple of horses. I did volunteer at a local humane society. There's a horse barn and I worked with the horses, and that would take me an hour to tell you about that story, which was amazing. But it was more my connection to that teacher. That teacher was amazing. And so I decided that it was time to get certified in Reiki 3 and that they would be my teacher. And I talked to Jen about that and she knew Maya and was like, I want to do it too. So I reached out to Maya and I said, will you be offering Reiki 3 anytime soon? And they said, I'm writing the curriculum right now. Oh. It was like January and they were going to offer it in the spring. And this teacher, so I love my Reiki 1 and 2 teacher, and it was a little westernized, but it was what I needed at the time and at the level that I needed at that time. The Reiki 3, they talked about cultural appropriation and appreciation and white privilege and things that I had, you know, I'm a dental hygienist. I was in college in the 80s. So things that I had never been exposed to, like ways of thinking that, in human terms of like when I'm interacting with people on a daily basis or patients or students or clients, things that I had never considered as being a compassionate person. And so I think that that was delivered to me to receive that information and those awarenesses. I don't know where I'm going with that. But just being open.
I see the dots you're connecting because it's like, sure about the equine stuff, but of course you love animals. And I'm sure the horse spirit taught you so much, like you said, about so many things, but then it led you to the teacher. So it's just, you're telling all of us to please, you know, ask spirit to show you what you need and feel worthy. And it's going to come, you know, we just have to open our eyes because we may be so specific, like kind of like what I've been trapped into it in my past. I need to find the teacher. The teacher is going to be a certain way, but you listen to yourself. You're like, oh, equine Reiki. Oh, this. Oh, here's the teacher, you know, and you didn't even know that that's the next, you know what I mean? So it's just things come to us in so many different nonlinear, circular, you know, beautiful ways. And we're so patterned to think and conditioned to think that it's going to go in a certain way. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, that kind of comes back to what I was hearing when Tina originally did that channel was that I just kept hearing free your mind, free your mind, free your mind. Like just go, you know, stop thinking and start feeling, you know, and that's something my friend Jen, to bring her up again, is always saying, get out of your head and get into your heart. Mm. You know, I knew that that was something that I needed. I had no idea why. I didn't need to know why. I just trusted that feeling, that energy I was getting from seeing that, like, I need to do this. I don't know why, but I guess I'm going to do it. You know,
and risks, even though they're not like life, all, you know, your life's not going to end risk, but those risks of like, you know, I'm going to do this class. I don't know why, but I'm drawn to it. And then you can meet your best friend. You can meet your husband. You can meet, you know, your teacher. It's just,
I think a lot of this too gets into, especially our generation where we are, create your goals, create your path. You need to be a productive member of society, right? So we set these goals and we set this. Well, sometimes in this new world version of the world, if you set those goals too tightly, you're missing out on what comes around the periphery. So we got to, you know, let those black and white kind of gray up a little bit and just be open to what comes. All right, ladies, we have talked a long time. So
can I just, before we end, please?
Oh, Kristen.
Yes. So I would love for you to come back many, many times, Michelle. But one thing that I'm very passionate about is animals and horses, because they've helped my son so much. He's done horse therapy for years and years and years. So I would love for you to come back just to talk about your story that you
would love
to share. I just think that horses and children with special needs and the Reiki that you're offering. And I just feel like that would be a really magical conversation.
I would love to. I would love to.
Book really it.
I'd love to talk about animals.
So before we leave, and Michelle, like we didn't even need a script for this. You just like took us all on a journey here. I do want to say that what I've always felt fun is that when Michelle quickly like stepped into this role that obviously she was meant to be in, she like had a she shed built like within a year and had somebody come in and build it. It was so awesome. So Michelle just sold this summer that house that was her transition house and has since remarried and just moved in with her new husband. And I love so much that Rick is do whatever you need to do, Michelle. And Michelle just had a 2.5 times the size of your old she shed built.
It's 12 by 24.
It's huge.
So I've taken over the outside. So I ripped out the overgrown flower bed and my 20-year-old helped me do it because I couldn't get through some of it. Chainsawed down overgrown stuff, replanted. And this she shed is 12 by 24. It's and so before I got on here, I was out there insulating it and the flooring's coming in. But I just love the, it's like a source of strength, like being independent. And I'm, and thank God for Rick that he is like cognizant of my need for independence and supportive. And
yeah,
that's another long story of like how I called him in and through a new moon and full moon ceremony. And he unknowingly kind of did the same thing. And so now he does new moon and full moon
ceremonies. They are very cute. They do ceremonies together, everybody, which for another day, for another day.
Yes, but we should talk. I want to, oh, I wish it could.
Kristen?
We'll have to bring in, yes, that conversation later, but yes.
And so one last thing. So her newest purchase for her shed, aside from the flooring and the insulation and all that, is
oh my gong.
Her gong.
Oh, I love my gong.
It's a big gong too.
It's a big gong. Well, I was attracted to sound healing and I kept looking at the crystal bowls and it didn't feel right because they're high vibration. They're more to this, and this is just my right. feeling is that they're angelic and I'm earthy. I kept looking at him and I'm like, I should do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And then I saw this gong and it's beautiful. And I'm like, that's what I need. And, you know, my kids are rolling their eyes like, you bought a gong. And I mean, it has a stand. It's a big gong. And I love it. I love it so much. I used it at the Common Ground Fair, which is an agricultural fair put on by the Maine Organic Farmers Association. I was in the yoga tent for a couple of classes and I brought my gong up and I felt like I was with my people. They all loved it, where some people aren't open to the gong.
The gong is loud.
Okay. I bet a lot of people though, when they are around a gong and they hear it, I would imagine people would be like, oh my God. Because the sound, if,
yes,
it's so this like
it's low. Well, yeah, it's just like
yeah. We feel like it moves a lot of like lower vibration out of people. Do you feel like it hits the lower chakras?
Yes, I do. So, a quick interesting story. So I brought it to my weekly yoga class, which is a small studio. You know, I had like 10 people in there. And all of them I know well. I've seen them for Reiki. I've known them for a long time, every single one of them. So I know where they are. And for the most part, when I'm doing energy work, most people feel like they're either really earthy or grounded, or they're kind of up in the ethers. Occasionally, I feel people are pretty balanced. And so it was interesting to see the response to the gong. So the gong definitely hits the lower chakras. So actually, Tina's sister-in-law was laying right in front of the gong and she's Ooh. Very earthy and she loved it. She thought it was fantastic. The people, like my daughter, I shouldn't rat people out, and a couple of other folks found it really, it made them anxious. And those people tend to be more in the ethers. So it was very like
their body maybe.
Right. I was bringing them into their body and they weren't comfortable with it.
Yes,
and without judgment, it was just a really interesting, you know, once I thought about like who liked it and who didn't like it, I also might have played it a little too loudly because I was used to playing it outside and not inside in this small studio. So I really got into it.
You're knocking people in their bodies and they're not prepared.
Right, exactly.
It's really hard to be out of my body.
All right. But, as much as I would love for this conversation to keep going, I think we need to bring it to a wrap. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry. So Michelle, I don't know the answer to this, so I apologize for putting you on the spot. The best way for you to lend your magic to people is obviously hands-on. Do you ever do any magic through the universe, through the ethers, to people remotely?
I have, especially through COVID. I have done over Zoom, ceremony over Zoom, and then had folks lay down you know, like they're I like to do it at bedtime, and I would do a distance healing on them and write down everything that came up. I don't like to text them back because I'm afraid they won't sleep. So right. I send that in the morning.
If we have any listeners out there that would want to do it that way, because not everybody lives in Maine, unfortunately, is that something that you would be open to doing?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, for sure. So how could people contact you?
My website, ReikiInTheWoods.com, has my email address, and that would probably be the easiest way. I also have a Facebook page that I can be contacted on. And
that is ReikiInTheWoods?
Reiki in the Woods. If they would like to plan a trip to Maine, wintertime, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing with meditation in the woods, as I am a registered Maine guide, I would love to do that.
Are you preparing an event or an outing?
Because I've been in the process of moving and getting my new space ready, I don't have an event planned. I might plan one for after the new year, and that I would post on my Facebook page, and I can ask my tech support to help me put it on my
thank goodness for tech support. So what we could have people do is, so people can go to your website, which is ReikiInTheWoods.com. Is it .com?
Yes, .com.
Or they can follow you on Facebook at Reiki in the Woods. And if they followed you, then they would, that notification when you would put up any event would show up on their yes. page as well. Okay.
Yeah. I'm terrible with Instagram. I can try to put it on Instagram. I am not a social media person, which I know in this day and age might help things.
So I can tell you that Michelle, if you haven't gotten the feel of this already, Michelle is very magical. She has done healings on my entire family, even though some people feel that you shouldn't do healings on your family, including when both my kids have had concussions. Michelle has helped with that energy, and my kids have both recovered very rapidly between that and chiropractic care, which has been, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. In addition to all of our
distance.
And that was distance because, I mean, one of my kids was in the dark in the basement because couldn't handle the light. And that wasn't even the kid that ended up in the hospital. So yes, the healing is potent. So Michelle, thank you so much. And we will definitely have you on again. This will probably go to be one of our longest episodes that we have posted on there.
It shouldn't shock us at all. My favorite podcast for over 2 hours.
Oh, you should have Jen and I on at the same time.
No, I don't think we could do that.
So Michelle, again, thank you. And for everybody listening, we thank you. Please reach out to Michelle if you have an interest in having some distance Reiki or coming to Maine and having, it's not even Reiki, it's intuitive healing because it's the whole kit and caboodle. It's the whole spiritual toolbox that she throws at you. And I am blessed to have her as my sister. And
I love you.
I love you too. So thank you all for listening. We hope that you grabbed yourself a cup of tea and sat back and were able to enjoy the discussion or the story time with Michelle that we just had. And when we come back on next week, we'll be continuing this conversation on intuition. So doing that for the next 2 weeks. So thank you all very much. Take care of yourselves and have a wonderful week.
Much love.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Intuition Talks. As we kick off this new podcast, we would be extremely grateful if you would share with friends who may find the podcast informative, helpful, or simply entertaining. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well at Intuition Talks Podcast. To connect with us individually, you can go to kristinomara.net and tinaelmoody.com to learn about our books, newsletters, services, and everything in between. Our links are there for you in the show description. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, be well and keep stepping forward.